Okay, class dismissed. No, okay. All right. Wow. Okay. All right. Glad to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Okay. This is gonna be a hard one tonight. this is also for me. Don't worry. Just pray for our pastor. We'll take up requests at the end before we leave. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of James. Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then way past that is James. Okay. All right. Okay, James, right before 1 Peter, James chapter 1. There we go. All right, so let's go ahead and just follow with me. It's okay, you can remain seated. Go down to verse 26. All right, 26 and 27. We'll only cover verse 26 tonight because I don't have 10 hours, so it's just a joke. All right. Okay, so James chapter 1, in verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Amen.
Okay, so for tonight, we'll just cover verse 26. Let's go ahead and bow and let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you for your many blessings to us. We just pray and ask you would guide and direct my thoughts as I preach for these next few moments. Be with our pastor as he's away, just with the things he's got to take care of. You'll be able to accomplish those things and bring him back safely here as well. Lord, for those who are in our church family who are sick, Father, and those prayer requests that's on our hearts, we'll pray that you answer each one according to your will and time. We thank you for your love and care for us. Thank you that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should not be moved, as the song mentioned. And Lord, we should be steadfast in his love, in our service for him. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So how many of you have taken a test?
Yes.
All of us have, right? Maybe some of you have done it today in school. All right. So I took a test and already failed because I didn't come on time. But all right, that's besides the point. So it's not easy taking a test, especially if you haven't done your part. You know, tests, you need to study and so forth. So tests are necessary to measure one's knowledge, skills, and performance so we can better ourselves. Okay, that we've grasped the material and we know it and we can show it by passing those tests. So in the spiritual realm, testings are necessary to show and to prove the evidence of one's conversion and measure spiritual growth so that we make the right choices and decisions in lives and changes as well and fulfill God's goal for our own lives and to do his will. It says in Romans chapter number 8, you don't have to turn there, but it says in verse 29, and some of you may be able to quote this, for whom he did foreknow, this is God, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So again, here in Romans 8:29, that is for us to be conformed or to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ in his character, in his actions, and so forth. And so tonight we will take a test. And this is between you and the Lord, okay? This is not with me, all right? This is a true religion test. So this is not just a religion for us. Instead, it's a religion before God. And I don't really like to use the word religion because there's so many, but the word religion is actually there in the Bible. So it's before God, the one whom we should please, all right? So let's see how we do, all right? So here James is talking about religion. In verse 26, this means in ceremonious, in worship and pious. In verse 27, you see the word religion there as well. This means ceremonial observance and worshiping. Okay? So if you go back, if you notice the first word of the verse in verse 26, it begins with the word if. That's a two-letter word, and if, okay? So do you and I really think that we are a true worshiper of the Lord? Do we consider ourselves a good Christian brother or sister? If anyone seem to be religious, and here we see the word seem. So if any man among you seem to be religious, or the word seem means to appear as, or to give the impression, or to show or think he or she is, okay? So we professing Christians can appear to be religious. There's a lot of religious people out there, but I don't want to preach to people out there. We need to preach to ourselves, okay? All right? So here we may faithfully observe all the outward religious duties, like coming to church Sunday after Sunday, maybe every Wednesday, maybe even during the revival, through the whole revival, whatever it may be. And we may even sing the hymns and tithes and listen to the preaching and etc. Yet we fail the test of being a true worshiper according to what God says. And so I believe we learned lately, we saw that Pastor Jim mentioned about being a true worshiper, and that is giving ourselves and our every being over to the Lord. Yeah. All right? So yet if we only appear as it is, the end of the verse says here, this man's religion is vain. Okay? So the word vain means empty, it's profitless, it's vanity. It's like those soap bubbles. If you blow those soap bubbles, eventually they appear, and eventually they disappear. They're no longer there. So it's not real, and it's false. So it gives us a result that such a performance in church does not equally mean that a Christian is indeed spiritual or godly. Okay? But eventually we know that God is the judge. So again, don't look at your other brother or sister, okay? We got to look at ourselves,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so James points out three tests of true religion. So we'll see the first test tonight. Okay, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, so test number one is the tongue test.
Oh, that's
and that's hard for a preacher because he's always preaching, okay? All right, so here's short trivia here. It's been said that the acid in your stomach is strong enough to dissolve a razor blade. Now, don't do that, okay? I'm not saying to do that. You see weird people that do that, and they eat those kind of stuff, but gross, okay. All right, and you get a new stomach lining every 3 to 4 days. They even say that Monday is the day of the week a risk of a heart attack is greatest. Now, I don't know if that's still true or not, because of stress. It takes 17 muscles to smile and 43 to frown. Okay? So smile, right? 95% of diseases are caused or complicated by stress. Okay? Person also went on to say you use 200 muscles to take just one step. All right? Maybe do research on that, right? Lastly, in proportion to its size, they say that the strongest muscle in the human body is the tongue, okay? The tongue. See, the tongue cannot lift much weight. However, all day we chew, we swallow, and we... Who said that? I think the baby did. Talk, all right? We talk all day. So according to researchers, each person will open his or her mouth an average of 700 times a day. All right, and by average, okay, I've heard, and no offense to ladies tend to talk more, all right? But there are men, don't get me wrong, there are men that talk a lot too. I have one at work, I won't say his name, but he can talk a lot. Wow, all right. Okay, so here, in those 700 times, they say that we use an average of 18,000 words per day, which would translate to about 54 printed pages in a book. Man, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
So that means in 1 year, an average person, again, average, would fill 66 books of 800 pages each in 1 year. Imagine that. Okay? You think about it. And so Jesus warned that we will give an account or an answer for every careless word that we speak. And even sometimes those words that don't, not everybody hears, but it's like just under our tongue and just, you know, like that. Okay? And so even our thoughts as well. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus speaking, he said this, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." And so woe to those who have not received Christ as Savior, that they're going to give account for all of that. Now, ours is all under the blood, don't get me wrong, all right? But there's still going to be chastening for the believer in this world if we talk too much, there will be consequences and so forth.
Amen.
And so in the book of James, he speaks of the sinful effects of the tongue, all right? So here in James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says here, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Wow. And so how serious a tongue test is, because it likens those effects to a small fire that sets the forest ablaze, and a member that stains the whole body. And so we can control the tongue. We should be able to control our whole body, okay, by the grace of God and with His strength, in His power. And so, and yet, this is one of the sins we accept or tolerate, but is not, again, acceptable to God. So Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Yeah. A lot of times we're guilty. Someone does us wrong and we just want to lash back. All right? So as the thought process goes in, before we lash back, let's think through it. So Paul's saying here that we are to not let any corrupting talk come out of our mouths. So corrupting talk is not limited to just profanity, bad language. You might hear that all over the place in work, or obscene, that's indecent sexual speech. But Paul's exhorting believers to avoid whatsoever corrupting talk, no gossip or sarcasm, no critical speech, or harsh words. And so all of these sinful words that tend to tear down another person must be put out of our speech. Okay, don't get me wrong. There's times that we need to correct someone. But again, going back in Ephesians, Paul says that he was speaking the truth in love. Okay, all right? So there's a difference there. So let's tackle some of the sins of the tongue. And this is just a couple. So 1A here, it says, or number one, the tongue that is used for flattery. So flattery is excessive and insincere praise given especially to further one's own interest. It says in Proverbs 26:28, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." And so the world tells us that we need to, you know, work our way up, to butter people up, brown nose your way to the top, and people want, you know, just tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Even though everything's going wrong, "Oh, wow, you know, you look so great today, that outfit looks good," and they don't look very good, but anyways, you can be very creative in how you do stuff. But anyways, the Bible says exactly the opposite. "See, if you rebuke somebody in love, then they will love you much more than if you give them empty, meaningless flattery."
Amen.
And again, sometimes we can be very guilty of that. We don't want to hurt someone's feelings. But again, yeah, don't be very direct, but tell the truth, but in love. And so letter B, the tongue that is used for quarreling. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 6, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." So the Bible says that a fool's mouth invites strokes or invites a beating. Okay? So for those of you who are young and even old people, older people, okay? You're not old unless you think you're old, but you can, well, but we're getting older. All right? So you'll never learn a better lesson than this. Learn to control your temper. Amen. And it's hard, just like that hot water and you put that tea bag in there as everything around you is just, in a sense, sizzling and it's just making you aggravated. What's going to come out, the aroma out of that tea bag? Is it going to be, or is it going to be an aroma of grace and so forth? And so, again, how many of us have undergone tremendous heartache because at a crucial moment we lost our temper and we spouted off words when instead we should have been silent? Okay? That includes me as well. A fool says that since you have it inside, you have to just let it out. Let it go. No. Gotta give it over to God. And just, that's why we have two ears, I mentioned this before, and we have one mouth to speak. You gotta listen. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath, it says in James 1. And so, there are a lot of times when if you have to get it out, it would be better off if you and I would go somewhere and just let it out where no one will hear. Well, it's very hard to do that, especially now. And so a wise man keeps himself under control. So we see the power of angry words. And so let an angry man start taking a drink and those words start uncontrollably coming out. And so that's why Proverbs warns us about this, that we have to be careful with our tongue. Number three, so not only it's used for flattery, tongue is used for quarreling. Three, the tongue that is used for gossip and slander, all right? And so here it's in 2 Timothy 3:3 and Titus 2:3, and this is talking about false accusers, and it says the aged women likewise, they are not to be false accusers. And if you go back to the Greek, the word is diabolos. What does that mean? That's talking about the devil himself, okay? Devil, who's a slanderer, he's accuser of the brethren, all right? And so we got to be very careful. Even 1 Timothy 3:11, not to be slanderers. So 38 times in 36 verses. It's three times even in 1 John 3:8. So it means malicious gossip. It is the spreading of unfavorable information about someone else. And even if the information may be true, we got to be very careful and try to limit the information. And so, however, gossip is often based on rumor, which makes the sin even worse. You ever tried something and had like 10 people in line and you told the first person something, then the second person's got to turn around and tell, by the time you get to the end, it's like you say, do five jumping jacks and something like that. And the guy at the end says, oh, yeah, do 500 jumping jacks and twirl around and do a backflip. I don't know. And so things will tend to change. And so, again, being part of it seems to feed our sinful ego and our pride, especially when the information we're passing along is negative. Well, have you got the juicy scoop on so-and-so? Or whoever it is, and you see that all over the news, in the media. Yeah. Seems like it's all soap opera, whatever. It's all playing the part. It's just like, okay, let's make this look really real, but it's not. And so it makes us feel self-righteous as well by comparison. So the severity of this evil in doing Satan's work is simply gossiping. It also includes the tongue problem of, again, slander. And so in Proverbs 10:18 says, he that hateth with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander, the Bible says, is a fool. And so many times we act like fools when we shouldn't. Amen. We should be wise. In order to be wise, we need to go back to the Word of God. And so to slander, is making a false statement or misrepresentation about another person that would damage their reputation. And so again, we see all that in political campaigns, and they slander their opponents. In the Philippines, it's worse. All they do is just kill the guy or lady. Yeah. They say, oh, I don't know what happened. And so it's sad. That's what happens. And so we slander when we lay on wrong motives to people, even though we cannot see their hearts or know really their particular situations. And so there could be a way where maybe that person is going through something and you can encourage them and maybe even point them to Christ. And so we slander when we blow out of proportion another person's sin and make that person appear to be more sinful than he or she really is. Like, you know, this person does this and this and this. And then sometimes we ourselves are guilty of that same sin, which is sad. And so the motive often behind slander is to gain an advantage in any way over another person. And so in the business world, it's called backstabbing or climbing the corporate ladder over other people's backs. And you see that. They just flatter with people, their boss, and say, oh, you're so good. You know what so-and-so did that's applying for that position? Oh, you know what? I can do a better job and, you know, whatever it may be. And so that's the game. That's not God's game. All right, it's not a game. God has a purpose for why we're here. And we are to uplift, we are to point people to Christ and encourage people as well. And sometimes, yes, it means to rebuke them, but again, in love. So here, Proverbs 16:28 says, a forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And so that happened to me one time. My good friend, him and I were very good friends, and then there's this other friend that's talked to him about me, and then that person talked to me about him and trying to turn us against each other. And so sad. And you see that nowadays as well. Okay, number four, the tongue that is used for lying. So it says in Proverbs 6, we won't go through it, 16-19, but it gives us the seven things that the Lord hates. And so within these, two of them are a lying tongue and a false witness who tells lies or pours out lies. So it's making a false statement, or often we are apt to lie by, again, exaggeration, by a failure to tell the whole truth, or by indulging in what we call a little white lie. And so a lie that, yes, we will think is of no consequence. And its intent really is always to deceive. Again, you know what so-and-so did? Yeah, they did all this and this and this, but they also did this. And then exaggerating whatever it may be. Number five, the tongue that is used for critical speech. So these are negative comments about someone that may be true, but doesn't need to be said because they tend to put down, humiliate, or hurt the other person. And so this includes harsh or cruel words, sarcasms or mocking words, insults or disrespectful words, and ridicule or possibly teasing words. I know sometimes we tease each other, but sometimes if the teasing goes too far, eventually it becomes a fight.
Amen.
I remember two brothers, they were there, they were just tossing each other, a racer or something, and all of a sudden they threw it harder and harder, and all of a sudden they wanted to go at it. It's like, man. Just out of a little thing. And so sometimes we've got to remember what our boundaries are. And so these types of speeches most often comes from an attitude of impatience or anger. A lot of times we're impatient. We want instant everything. Right? Or anger. When things don't go right, we get angry. We, including myself. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever comes out of our mouth, that's really what's coming from our heart. And so that means that although we speak with the sins of the tongue, really our real problem is the heart. And the heart is so deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 17:9. So sometimes we don't even know how wicked our own hearts can be. But the Lord does. And praise the Lord for his grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us and allows us to say speech that would edify and build up people. And again, yes, sometimes there's times to rebuke, but again, you cannot just always rebuke and rebuke and rebuke. There's got to be love as well. Okay? Now, it can't always be love and love and love and love. If you really love the person, you'd also correct them as well in love. Tell the truth in love. So again, behind all of our gossip, our slander, our critical speech, our insults, and sarcasm is our heart. So the tongue is only the instrument that shows what really is in our heart. So maybe we should just cut it off. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. No, don't do that. Right? You need that. All right? And so if we don't bridle our own tongue, our religion is false. It's in vain and empty according to God's standards, which merits for the believer, for the child of God, no reward and commendation from the Lord. And so when we stand before the bema seat of Christ, what is the Lord going to say? You know, man, you should have done this instead. Why did you say that? Again, we won't be condemned for that, but look at all this you could have had. I'm sorry, I'm giving it to so-and-so. Whatever it may be. And so, again, to bridle means to control, to discipline it, to restrain it, or to curb it. So it is written in its present tense in the verb here, to bridle, okay? Meaning that this should be, again, on a regular, ongoing basis. Bridling the tongue. We have to do that moment by moment. Again, remember those books we're building up every day, every year? What kind of books are we building up? All right. So personally, I have had instances when I have said negative things about someone, and there's some instances where I have actually bit my tongue, as in Ephesians 4:29 came to my thought. I remember even in work just recently, someone says something, I'm like, I can't. He doesn't understand. I just wait till he calms down and then I can talk to him. And so this is a constant battle that we deal with. We need to deal with as children of God because of the mere wrong thought alone about someone that tells us that we need to guard not only our tongues, but most importantly, we need to guard our hearts. It says to keep thy heart with all diligence, or guard it, for out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. Amen. So it says Proverbs, I believe it's 4:23. And so we must pray like what David prayed. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that is his thoughts as well, be acceptable in thy sight, O God. That's in Psalm 19:14. Very good scripture or verse to memorize right there. And so secondly, we must also ask ourselves these two questions about the negative comments we make to others. We've got to ask ourselves, number one, is it kind? Number two, is it needful? And also, does it really need to be said, even if it's true?
Right.
Now again, yes, eventually if you become pretty good friends and eventually you can laugh and joke, and all of a sudden you can throw something little there, you know, if they can take it. But if not, then maybe it's not the time. So we've got to ask ourselves. Thirdly, if you and I truly want to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, we must ask the Holy Spirit really to make Ephesians 4:29 as a guideline for our thoughts and our speech. Decide to have no corrupting thoughts come out of our hearts, but only thoughts, if uttered and said, would build up those who hear them. And so also with respect to God's holy name, we are commanded in Exodus 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And so fourthly, we need to yield or surrender our tongues over to the Lord. Have you ever said, Lord, my tongue now belongs to you? We say our life, but sometimes we forget about the tongue. That includes our whole life, really. And so That's where Romans 6 comes in, talking about yielding our members of our body to God. I think it's in Romans 6 in verse 16, if I'm not mistaken. Check me out on that and correct me if I'm wrong, okay? In love, all right. Okay, so here, have you ever told the Lord, here are my lips, let me speak for you. Here is my mouth, let my mouth speak the words that you want me to speak to others. And so in closing, there's a poem by James Hewitt, and it goes something like this. The boneless tongue, so small and weak, can crush and kill, declares the Greek. The tongue destroys a greater horde, the Turk asserts, than does the sword. The Persian proverb wisely saith, a lengthy tongue and earthly death. Or sometimes takes this form instead, do not let your tongue cut off your head. Sometimes that happens. The tongue can speak a word whose speed, says the Chinese, outstrips the steed. The Arab sages said in part, the tongue's greatest storehouse is the heart. From Hebrew was the maxim sprung, thy feet should slip, but ne'er or never the tongue. The sacred writer crowns the whole, who keeps the tongue doth keep his soul.
Amen.
And so we got to be very careful as believers in Christ. We have to ask ourselves, have we surrendered the members of our whole body to the Lord, which here includes the tongue? So Proverbs 16:1 says this, the preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So will you and I ask the Lord to control and take control of our tongue? And again, it can't just be today. It has to be a day-by-day basis. Now, maybe you're here and you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says in Philippians 2, verses 10 to 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, whether in heaven, in earth, or under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's interesting how people, they flippantly use his name. They're proclaiming him, his name, but in a wrong way. They don't understand that later, eventually, if they die without Christ, they'll be saying that Jesus Christ is Lord. Does that talk about you today? If you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so let's go ahead and let's pray. And then if Sister Diane will come, please, and maybe just, if you just please stand and just with your heads bowed and eyes closed. You know, maybe the Lord has spoken to you tonight regarding the tongue. You know, again, as I mentioned, there's a lot of times I've failed the Lord. And maybe you have today. I have today. You know, just confess that to the Lord. That's between you and Him. And maybe there's something that you said to somebody that you need to get right with, and maybe you need to talk to them.
Amen.
And the Lord has a press upon your heart to talk to them. Just pray and ask the Lord to just forgive you of your sin, of whatever you said to them that may have hurt them or got them angry. Confess it to the Lord, but then the next step is to go to that person and then to ask them and say, you know, I'm sorry for what I said.
Amen.
And so Sister Diane will play just maybe a verse, you know.